if you yell at them, I'm sorry, but if yelling worked, then everybody would be a professional athlete.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
That's a great way to put it.
Right? Like if you're yelling, it doesn't work with this kid today because they're afraid of everything. They don't have any skills to cope. So we're learning 30, 40% less than we did 40 years ago.
Wow.
No phones an hour before bed. Okay. No phones 30 minutes after you wake up. The reason why is because that is the worst time as adults and kids we can go on phones because it spikes the dopamine and cortisol levels really high, gets our heart rates revved up, and then imagine our nervous system. The time on digital, like phones or tech, is almost 30,000 hours by 16. That is 3 years of their lives. And when we keep scrolling, we don't get faster, we don't get stronger, and we don't get smarter. Not anymore. In fact, the newest science says, and I'm excited about this, that kids who are raised off technology are going to be the smartest and brightest kids in the world. In the world. Best athletes. They're gonna be far superior socially, far superior in their leadership skills. Because where we're not getting any help right now is from the building of mental skills at a young age. Parents are not parenting.
Welcome to this episode of the Pro Player Podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Larissa Mills. Larissa is an expert in mental skills, amongst many other things. One of the most interesting things about Larissa's work is the link between mental skills and healthy phone habits, especially in young people. Larissa talks about athletes who can control their phones being more successful and more confident. That's something we're going to get into today for sure. She is the founder and CEO of the Mental Game Academy. 11 years as an educational behavioral consultant in Canada. She has a master's degree from Niagara University in neuroscience and counseling. And one of the key questions that we're going to start with her today is why are we seeing some athletes fall short of their potential? Which is going to be unbelievable, listening for everybody listening to us today. Welcome, Larissa.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here because I want to come back to England, and hearing your accent makes me feel like I'm kind of home. So, I love going back and visiting our family, and I miss it. Yeah. And I love how sports are so much more progressive actually in the UK, and Canada is falling short in every aspect right now.
Really? Well, I'd like to.
Oh, yeah. We are very much behind. With our football, like with our hockey, with our general sports, we're even taking phys ed curriculum and teachers out of the curriculum. It's quite sad. So we're going to fall off a lot of the Olympic and professional scales here for the next few years until the leaders that be lead us down this path until they see a change. But so let's go back to your question.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely get into that for sure.
So why are they falling short of potential? Three reasons. When they're on technology, if they're scrolling, their brains are not working, right? So typically your hippocampus is this big. Right now, every time you scroll and watch a video for like a minute, essentially your brain shuts off frontal all the different neurons and neural pathways. We're not firing. So when we're just scrolling, our brain, we just go zombie-like. That's number one. So when you go to ask them to dribble, when you go and ask them to pass, when you go and ask them to learn their offensive and defensive systems, or how to kick in a penalty kick, or how to do a corner kick and all these things, the kids cannot cognitively process the three things in the drill you just told them because of this one scrolling issue. And when we keep scrolling, we don't get faster. We don't get stronger, and we don't get smarter, not anymore. In fact, the newest science says, and I'm excited about this, that kids who are raised off technology are going to be the smartest and brightest kids in the world. In the world. Best athletes, They're gonna be far superior socially, far superior in their leadership skills, because where we're not getting any help right now is from the building of mental skills at a young age. Parents are not parenting. That's number two. Okay. Parents are not parenting. Parents are screaming at their kids to perform, but they're demanding performance, but they're not equipping their kids for performance. That's a big thing. The third one is the time on digital, like phones or tech, is almost 30,000 hours by 16. That is 3 years of their lives. This means that they are sedentary rather than moving and playing multiple sports, right? They're not even doing chores. There's no accountability. There's nothing. So we're falling short, really, in many areas. And kids are being raised to just sit on phones and think that this is okay as an adult, but it's not okay. And by 2050, we'll have the most heaviest generation of children ever. That's absolutely the most discouraging fact I've seen and heard, but this is what the doctors in Canada, Britain, Australia, and US, this is where we get a lot of our medical data from, because I don't like working outside of science, but where are we falling short? Yeah, we're falling short because the kids are on too much freaking technology. There is no nice, easy way to say this. We're dumbing down our generations. They're slower, they're deficient, and they can't make friends. They can't socialize. So, I mean, I don't want to waste time being sweet with, you know, honey on it. No, let's be blunt. Here's the problem. We need to get the tech away from kids and get them moving again. Even if it's not just for their academic, we need to get them moving again 6 to 7 hours a day just to help the medical system, right? Like if we're looking at it, if you're looking at it from a development system of athleticism, you've taken your, let's take soccer, right? So we used to have millions of kids at the grassroots level, let's say a million. Now there's 500,000. Like, right? And 31% of less boys and girls are signing up for soccer. So now you've got almost a silo of development all the way up, and typically more wealthier families with deficiencies and dysfunctional behaviors. And the kids are not mentally equipped to handle feedback, to handle when you're giving them instruction, or work ethic. They're not working, they're scrolling. Right?
Absolutely right.
Does that answer your question?
Doesn't it? It might be the best answer to a question I've ever asked. I'm glad someone said it. I think.
All right, David, we're on a roll. Let's go.
I think everybody thinks that. I don't think anyone's ever come out and said it in those terms. Zombie-like brain function. Parents perhaps not parenting anymore, or certainly as they used to. And a digital tech, 30,000 hours by 16. I mean, that hits me right in the feels. I never thought of that. Yeah.
So typically what we want to see in athletes and what we do in our program is no phones an hour before bed. Okay. No phones 30 minutes after you wake up. The reason why is because that is the worst time as adults and kids we can go on phones, because it spikes the dopamine and cortisol levels really high, gets our heart rates revved up. And then imagine our nervous system. It just starts shaking. So every time you touch your phone during the day, it's like touching a little bit of cocaine 176 times a day. And you wonder why our kids aren't happy. It's like, so you're telling the nervous system, which is your polyvagal nerve, it's connecting to your brain. And so what the brain is doing is going, can you stop? Can you stop? Just stop touching that thing. So the brain doesn't want it, but the nervous system is connected. And so here's our problem. So we really help at our development leagues, like U17, U18, teams, we help them to manage phones. We don't tell them to get off phones. We actually show them what happens to their brain, their heart, and their nervous system and their performance. And then they're off their own.
Wow.
They're like, oh, so I'm sabotaging myself every time I go on my phone? Yep, pretty much, dude.
Yep.
You just did 2 hours of a wonderful, effective practice. And then you went on your phone for 2 hours and you went zombie mode again. You didn't roll. You didn't eat right. You stayed up to 1 a.m. and then you expect to perform the next day. So now they're caught in the cycle of social media addiction, or it could be gambling addiction. We have lots of players who are gambling and doing other more high risk things. But what they're doing is they're not getting any life skills on a phone. They're getting phone skills on a phone.
Yeah. Wow, I am very rarely in my entire life speechless. I'm going to take a minute to compose myself here. Anybody who knows me will know that. If I can pick up on this then, this idea of the zombie-like function first, right? So
I think
we all know, you know, pick your phone up. That, again, that's a huge line. Again, 176 times a day, perhaps, or whatever it is, right? But you pick it up, you get involved in the scrolling piece, whether you, I think they call it doom scrolling when you're there forever or whatever.
You don't want to go there. Yeah.
You don't want to go to doom scrolling.
No, you do not.
What is actually, can you tell people what is actually happening in the brain then?
Yep.
When you pick your phone up and off you go, what is happening like from a science?
Okay. So in terms of brain chemistry, okay. And the nervous system, imagine we pick up a phone and there we start on Instagram. Okay, the kids go to Instagram, but they're going to TikTok. So typically kids are on TikTok between 5 and 9 hours a day. I don't even know how that's possible, but it is possible when we survey them and see that they're up till midnight and they're 12 years old.
Yeah.
So here's the awful thing. Parents, you have to be their frontal lobe till they're 18. Because kids' frontal lobes can't say no. And they can't say no to the little feeling of cocaine they get. Every time they scroll, they get a little bit of cocaine surge, right? Dopamine and cortisol.
Yeah.
And then their heart rates go, and then they get this feeling, oh, I'm calm. I feel a little bit better now. So the dopamine is what they want. What brings them back often to the phone is fear of missing out. So FOMO.
Okay?
That's a habitual thing, and it's addiction. Like some can actually form obsessive compulsive disorders on technology, because like we all have the same way we go on a phone. Like I go on, I go to my email, I go to my text, and I put all my social media over to the last page, and I don't get to go on it until around 12 or 3 in the middle of the day, because I want my dopamine and cortisol to come down, or at least have another workout when I can try and get it down, right? But I do have to go on, but the thing is I go on only not to scroll, but to answer any questions.
Yeah.
I feel things, but my sweet spot would be LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But so I have a timer, 5-10 minutes, because I just set my timer. I go on for work. I answer my questions and I'm off, because I can't stay on tech. I can't get my work done.
Yeah.
But we're training our children that they don't have to do chores, that they don't have to go on their phone, and they can scroll in doom scrolling mode. And then what happens is the hippocampus isn't asked to work. The hippocampus isn't asked to solve problems, to critically think. So children are really, when they use ChatGPT and AI, we're not using our brains. We're basically subbing out and saying, okay, you fix this for me, and then I'll just write it up. So we're learning 30, 40% less than we did 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, right? And this is from educational realms, like in the UK, Australia,
US,
and Canada. They're nervous, but they also need to fix it, right?
Well, yeah, they do.
But that's what happens. It's the automatic feeling of dopamine. It just makes us feel good.
And look, there'll be people, I'm fascinated, I'm not going to lie. When I saw your profile and your work, I just knew I had to reach out to you. I'm fascinated by all of this, but I'm also fascinated by all the chemicals, dopamine, everything, right? All the different ones, what they mean, what they do.
Yeah, like, and there'll there's good chemicals, right? Like oxytocin and serotonin, we need.
Indeed.
Those come from hugs. Guess
so
what?
People won't know this.
Hug.
Yeah, people won't know
this. Parents don't hug their kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and COVID as well. I mean, so could you just run us through quickly for those listening that might not know what oxytocin is, what dopamine is? Can you go just give us the elevator pitch of those terms?
Okay. Dopamine is a chemical that makes us, let put it in terms of reward. Okay. It makes us feel good. When we click this, I get a little bit of a zap of this and it makes me feel awesome. Okay. A little bit of a microdose of cocaine. Let's put it as in a term. Cortisol is a hormone that, yes, is associated with stress hormones, but actually cortisol can help us too. It's not bad, but it's bad in high quantities.
It primes us, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we, and adrenaline is actually what we want our athletes to have.
Yeah.
to have aggression, right? I don't mind if you have adrenaline. I want you to have adrenaline. Right now, kids are much less aggressive than they were 15 years ago.
Yep.
Like, they don't like touching. They don't like contact. Is it from COVID? Absolutely not. It is from how we're raising sedentary kids who don't want to socialize because it's easier just to escape on our phones.
This is, I'm just going to quickly jump in there, right?
I'm thinking about
my upbringing in the 90s in Wales, and I'm thinking to myself,
oh Lord,
this is pre-internet, pre-Google, right? And I'm thinking to myself,
I'm the same as you. I'm a 73. Yeah.
How much was I like outside tackling people, just playing tag, like falling down, getting up, like just actually, I've thought about activity. I thought about, I was a lot more kind of out there till the streetlights come on. We've done this to death, right? But actually tactile, physically touching other people all the time,
but we had friends over at our house all the time. We were at school with our buddies all the time. We were
all the time.
Like, I played 7, 8, 9 sports a year until my dad was like, okay, if there's any a time where you don't love one of these, can you tell me? Because I'm dying and driving. Like, because I had two younger brothers.
Yeah.
But we carpooled and we did all the things that we could do, but we played rec stuff for fun. Not just because we didn't want to sit at home.
Yeah. And I'm just making the comparison between that's 40 years ago. That's 30 years ago. It's not like 100 years ago. And now here we are. And like you said, I've never thought of it in those terms of like of teenagers, young people, not even physically touching other people or connecting with other people in that
way.
They
don't, because they like to be at home in their bedrooms, which is the most dangerous spot in the world for a child right now is online.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, yeah.
That's what the police were saying.
Yeah. Oh, I'm. Trust me, I've got a 9-year-old who loves Minecraft, and sometimes I wish I could shake these people on YouTube. They're grown adults on YouTube, playing Minecraft, doing videos, and you think from the one side, it looks like they're showing them how to build something or do something, and all of a sudden it flips, and they're talking in terrible language, and they're bringing adult themes up, and it's just, why would anyone make content like that?
Your child is not safe online unless you have secured the browser.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you know. You can play Minecraft, and Minecraft's not a bad game, right? It's how long are they playing, and do you know who they're playing with?
Yeah.
Right? But serotonin and oxytocin. So,
yeah, sorry, back to that,
So oxytocin is a great hormone. It is the love hormone. It is the hormone that makes us feel affection. It's the hormone that gives us the feeling of love, whether it's from romantic or just like, I had a coach that I seriously loved.
Yeah.
Many coaches. I talk to kids today like, I hate my coach. Mm. Everything is hate from kids.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like this. I don't like my teacher. And is it the language from complaining adults? A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also the way we are today, and we're wired more negative because after we scroll on social media, which is different from doom scrolling.
Right.
We feel different and not valued. So we lose our oxytocin when we go on phones. We don't feel that. It's hard to feel anything else. So we feel like we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. Their highlight reels are getting more likes. They got committed. They're signing a contract. And here I am. I'm not signed and I'm not right. So it compounds the feeling of loneliness. It compounds the feeling of isolation, which sends a lot of kids into that depressive state. But here's the great thing. We work with teams.
Yeah.
And within 2 days, we've got them down to 2 hours of phone time, and they can go rock it and they feel better already.
Yeah.
Just 2 days, 48 hours to reset your brain off tech. And then all of a sudden we equip them with mental skills, control mechanisms, confident boosting techniques, all the things that parents have not taught them. And they're not learning because they're not playing enough outside. We do it in 7 weeks and the teams are killing it. Their team leadership cohesion, David, phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah. Because now now we fix their gaps.
Right? Yeah.
Now all these kids have gaps. They have behavioral issues.
Yeah.
And parents just want them on a pill. I'm like, stop putting them on a pill and give them skills. Right? Like, that's the solution. And a lot of physicians don't want kids to go on more pills when they just need to get off tech and go outside. Right?
This is brilliant. Honestly, this is outstanding.
You'll be a great ambassador for MGA, won't you?
Well, I tell you what, there's people listening to us today who are getting into this because just the way, the passion with which you speak about it, obviously the level of
Oh,
expertise,
thank
but
you.
the passion in which you speak about it, and we'll get on to later maybe some of the guidance and stuff, but I think we've gone through the hormones, we've gone through I'm blown away by what you said there about when we scroll on social media, we're not actually not even just adding to our life, but we're actually taking away. We're
Taking
actually,
more.
there's a negative deficit from it. I
Yeah.
don't think a lot of
So,
people understand that concept.
like when we scroll, when we sit, when we just sit, instead of sitting and scrolling, go on a break outside of your building and get into the sun. Go get vitamin D, go get sunshine. 10 minutes of sunshine can change your brain for a couple of hours,
10 minutes.
10 minutes of sunshine. It can lift our serotonin, which we need, right? We need it. It helps actually balance what we eat, our appetite. We want serotonin. It kind of makes us happier and more chill. We don't want dopamine and cortisol, because those are stimulants to the reward system in the brain. It's like gambling. But when we just encourage our kids, so this means parents are not getting out of the house either. Parents cannot get off the hook anymore for this. And so, here I am. I'm going to say this on your podcast, so I hope people don't get too pissy. I go to a football match here, and my son plays here. Just, and he plays hockey, where I'm going to a soccer. I like to stand behind the parents. There's a dad scrolling, he's on porn. Right there on the soccer field,
Unbelievable.
right around. And I'm like, his kid came over, he shuts it off. He goes back to the soccer field. He's on my kid's team. I can't say anything. But then I'm like, he's on his phone the entire game because I'm watching the dopamine and the cortisol, right? Like, and then he goes over and he does gamble. So he just is searching for more and more. So phones create the most addictions we've ever seen. It's like Las Vegas, but in our hands.
In our hand, you're right. You used to have to go to Vegas, fly there, do
No, it's just right
whatever.
here.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
You're
so
right.
accessible, right? But this is the focus of parents. Then he starts yelling,
Course, because
right?
he doesn't
Because
really
he's
doesn't have any
revved up.
nuance or context because he hasn't been watching, so he just yells random
He just
stuff that
yells.
he thinks from the Hollywood movies will help, and it's just crazy.
Meanwhile, I'm the parent that kind of like cheers for everyone else's kid. And then I'm more hard on my kid. Probably a little bit, but I cheer. I'm a parent that cheers, but I'm a parent like when you lose, do you want to talk about it or not? It's up to you. Okay, well, so take it as a loss. What did you do well today? What did you do well? Where did you do well? What did your team do well? And where do you think you want to work on stuff? That's kind of how our conversations go in the car.
There's been a lot of research on the conversation in the car. Can I ask
Oh,
you,
Lord.
can
Car.
I get the feeling you'll tell me the truth, or well, certainly your opinion anyway, which I love. So what when kids lose a game and they're trying, these are elite players or trying to be elite players, they're going through a development system of some kind, right? Wherever they are in the world. When they lose a game, some people will say, well, that's not good, can never lose this, that, and the other. Other people will say, well, you only learn when you lose. And it seems to be two ends of the spectrum. You can only have the watered down version or the crazy win at all costs version. Surely the truth is somewhere in the middle. But too many parents just win, 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 win. We might have won 3 games in a row. Your child might have played no part in it, learnt nothing, developed in no way. But here you are with 3 wins from 3 games and you're over the moon.
But your
What's going
child
on
didn't
here?
contribute to any of those wins,
Exactly. What's going on
right?
here?
So I focus more on self-validation to an athlete. How are you contributing? How are you making impact? And I want you to tally your good skill wins. It's your own game in your head, whether you win or lose, right? So if I have a U18 team, we focus on staying engaged intrinsically motivated. So we use a lot of intrinsic motivation and daily 1% wins. Because if you go out there to score and only think about getting points, I'm sorry, but in soccer, it doesn't happen that often, like it does in basketball, which is could be 80 to 100 in a match, right?
Agreed.
Soccer your scores are, you're generally less than three.
Yep.
Right? So you're going to get burnt out by Christmas.
Right.
So let's set the child up, all children up, to win a little bit daily, but also to do daily feedback, because that child is going to develop 30% faster by Christmas than everyone else.
Yeah.
Right? So win or lose in the car?
Yeah.
I have to say, and you know this, you could play your best game, you know, against a top-notch team.
Yeah.
And you all will have played amazingly, the best you have in a couple of years. But then you could have played like the worst team and won, but still played crappy. So here's the balance on that spectrum. I don't care if they win or lose. It is still, and if we're really looking at it from a board perspective, okay?
Yeah.
Or it is about development. And if we look at it at any other way, we really don't have the kids that put on the focus radar here.
Yeah, that's true.
It's about the board winning.
Yeah, the Instagram post at the end of the justification of why we spend the money. I agree.
Right. Like in terms of development, because we have a service, like a product where we go into soccer clubs and leagues and we actually call it a refresh.
Right.
So we go in, we reduce the behavioral issues at that club. Mm. We educate the parents. We educate the coaches in cognitive strategies, like how to connect with this kid you can't connect with.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so older coaches don't know how to do this and younger coaches don't have any of the skills. So we're lost.
Right.
We've lost the leadership gap. And now if you yell at them, I'm sorry, but if yelling worked, then everybody would be a professional athlete.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like if you're yelling, it doesn't work with this kid today because they're afraid of everything. They don't have any skills to cope. But if we divide and create a very healthy development plan that really, really builds these athletes up, and then we work with the athletes to fill their gaps in, and we implement phone strategies and habits and higher standards of behavior, bam, your club will be dominant. Just by reducing behavior.
Yeah.
Just by educating parents and giving discipline. Confidence and discipline have to come back or we're going to lose sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of youth sport practice, and I'm not even going to, at this point, I've been in the United States 11 years. I'm not going to limit this just to soccer, right? Baseball, basketball,
it's everywhere.
Track and field, doesn't matter what it is, right?
Yeah.
All these coaches out there screaming and shouting, and I don't particularly mind the raising of the voice, right? Put a bit of bass in your voice.
It's warranted once tone. In a while.
Yeah,
right?
I don't
it's
mind warranted. Tone. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't mind tone. One of the best youth coaches I ever had was a guy called Del Chidi. And he used to say, he used to put a bit of bass in his voice and just say, different class. Say, Goffy, different class, son. And I would have done anything for a different class. I would have run. I would have done push-ups. I would have tackled anyone. I would have run through a brick wall just for a different class, right? So I got no problem with the raising of the voice per se. It's the belittling of young women that I cannot abide by anymore in youth sports. It's the sarcasm. Yes. Take us on that, please, if you will.
Generation athlete at all.
Tell us about that.
They'll hate you and resent you. Yeah. They won't respect you and they'll talk behind your back and you've lost them. Mm. But if you sit down and go, you know, we're really going to focus on mental skills, girls. Like I have probably a 500 athletes right now. Okay. Mm. Different teams, different sports. Next term, it's another 500. At the end of our program, 100% of the athletes are like, I feel more in control of my emotions. I've never felt so good.
Yeah.
Girls talk, 87% of them talk negatively to themselves every day. I do not want to be in that head. That's a horrible place to be. 25 years ago, it was not this high. So it's an accumulation, David, of, like we said, phone time, lack of parenting, and lack of discipline in education and sports. We kind of have let a lot go, and we realize what was working, but also where we have to improve to move forward. And to not include consequences and discipline and to accept poor behavior, you're never going to be able to get your club or organization back on track.
I promised when I started this that I would ask the questions that I think people out there would be going, what, you know, ask her this, ask her that.
Yeah.
They're going to love it even more with you because it's so engaging. But how come then there's teams that win? How come there's coaches that are successful? They are out there screaming and shouting. They are belittling young women. I watched it on the weekend. I went to a youth game. I saw one of the worst performances from a coach I've ever seen in my entire life. The team won. The team won. I watched kids come off the field, be dragged off the field almost. I watched them be humiliated, belittled. I watched their bench look away because they were hurt and like anxious about what's happening to their friends on the
and
pitch.
Their little lip is going.
Yeah, I saw it all. I saw it all this week. And this
That's
is like
pretty bad.
High performance, supposedly, right? Youth sport.
That's pretty
how come these teams are not only winning, maybe not, there doesn't seem to be much research, I've said this before, that suggests they win over decades, but they certainly win over a period of months or even years. How come these coaches, when the research suggests everything you're saying, and I'm fully behind it, how come they keep winning? How come parents keep putting their kids in these environments? How come everybody keeps turning a blind eye and saying, oh, well, yeah, I would take that away, but they win or but they progress? You know, how come people keep making excuses for this behavior?
Well, what level is this? Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's probably the highest level of girls soccer in the United States. Yeah, one of the leagues here.
That's why they're accepting it. Because that's what you must accept. And it's wrong. Parents should not accept it. And that coach should be given new training.
Yeah.
Right. Not being, I don't believe in like firing coaches today at all. They need retraining or to be let go for a year and come back. But that must be a special cohort too. I have to say. Also, you have the luck of a population in the US of 330 million people. So that's also, I would say that's a pocket group cohort, and a coach where maybe some supportive parents are there at home, but something has to exist there to have that success. So whether it's fear.
It is fear.
That might be working, because I bet you those girls are absolutely devastated all the time.
No doubt. They might run
someone's
to a ball faster.
In that ecosystem there. Someone's losing.
The kid is losing.
The kids,
the kid is losing.
Right? Someone's losing.
And in 10 years' time, there will be a review, just like there was in the NWSL with the Yates report. And then people can mark my words. You can go back and listen to this. In 10, 15 years' time, there will be a review with people come out talking about their experience, and people will say how bad it was and how much it affected them. And only then will anybody listen. But we're living it now. We're going through it right now.
Yeah, and no one wants to complain. They're too busy. They just accept it because we are such, I want to say we tolerate so much now. I'm like, where are standards?
Yeah.
Like a standard of a club? I'm sorry, but I would not let that coach like that. I would be on the sidelines going, you can't talk like that. You're going to have to fix your perspective. You're going to have to fix your ideology, your philosophy, because you can get great coaches. You can get amazing. There are amazing coaches out there. In fact, the most coaches do want to do well. They just need some help with their mental game themselves, their own phone time, because it revs them up, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like coaches are in a pressure cooker. At that level, they're in a pressure cooker. So what they need is some help from the organization and some support. And I think if they were given that support, I don't think you would see that actually. You'd probably seen that team never lose if you had more supportive resources. And so, like, I could go into that team and start teaching them right away.
Yeah.
And they'd be a different set of girls.
I wish you could. I wish we could. I wish we could clone you and have 73 of you and send you everywhere.
Well, that's kind of what we do.
Pretty much what you're doing. Yeah, I agree.
That's pretty much what we do. Yeah.
Let's talk quickly about the coaches. Then you brought the coaches up there.
Oh,
the mental game for the coaches. I like that. Like, so, I see a lot of coaches. And I don't know if I ever suffered with this myself. I always try to be honest and put myself, certainly have tactical empathy with people, because I remember climbing the ladder and trying to get a seat at the table. And I remember what it was like, right? But I don't know where it's from, where I'm from, or just the good mentors I had, or the lucky, you know, how lucky I was to be in such good environments young. But I never really felt that I had to be somebody else when the game started, or when someone was watching me, right? And maybe that's because I was just, you know, I wasn't very good and I had lots to learn. And every time someone gave me advice, it made me better. So I probably liked that process, right? Maybe.
Right. I call it the wheelbarrow. You want to keep your wheelbarrow full of ideas to get better. If your wheelbarrow is empty, I would be worried about your growth mindset and your development as an athlete, right?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, if you don't think as a coach that you need to keep learning, I'd be very worried about that coach.
Right. So I've definitely been using the wheelbarrow all my life, right? Pulling it up, moving it along, taking some bits out. I love that idea, right? That's really good. I think people can see that in their minds. But what about the coaches who sometimes will say, you know, yeah, all the right things, do all the right things, connect with the players. Maybe they aren't obvious, you know, overt out there screaming and shouting, belittling kids at the start. Soon as the whistle goes, completely different mentality.
Yeah, now, there's a switch that goes on.
This is a switch that goes off, right?
Yeah.
What is happening there? How can we help people either identify where they are on this spectrum or at least speak to a little bit of that section of the coaching community and say, listen, have you checked yourself? Are you sure you want to behave this way? What's going on there?
Respect yourself, right? Because it's the same thing. If you're acting like a moron in front of a team, you're not a role model. You're not a leader.
Yeah.
And the kids will actually figure that out first. It actually makes the kids very tense. They don't know what to do. And then eventually, within a few weeks, that type of coach, they're going to check out.
Yeah.
They're just going to check out. What we can do in terms of helping that is education, where we would get a video of that coach on the sidelines and say, you know, this is you.
Watch it. Watch yourself.
A really incredible coach from Manchester United work with us who wanted to improve their own mental game so that they remained calm and in beast mode. I said, you need to remain in beast mode for your team, just like they need to be beast mode
on
to
the pitch.
Attack. You need to be beast mode to control. And if you're rattled and angry, they're going to be rattled and angry. Right? So we need to get that under control. It's very simple, but it's more, it's permitted more, it's wrong, and they have more anger. People have more rage and anger today.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people I meet that are, you know, who can like socialize, not check their phone while they're talking to me. We're revved up, right? So we're adults. So he's probably beyond some scale of
changing
his phone, feeling pressure from somewhere else or her, doesn't matter. But I'm seeing rage on the sidelines more, and it's got to stop. It has no place. It does no productive help to any of your athletes on the sidelines. So that's where we come in. Like, we have a 6-week training course for, actually we just signed with International Football Association. So our program's coming out with them in January. And we help soccer clubs everywhere with soccer, like with coach training. Like, so that's what we do. We can help that.
Well, after this is done, we will certainly be passing on. We'll talk later about the website and everything else, but we'll be passing on your information to all the organizations that we can think of for sure. I mean, this is such an important area. This is such an important side of things, because the reality is, unfortunately, and I've talked now with people in Australia, I've talked with people in Europe, I've talked with people in North America and Canada, and it's the same issue everywhere you look, right?
Everywhere.
There's this idea of the pay-to-play model creates a scenario where, again, you talked about it earlier on, fear of missing out, right? People, if you don't do it or if you don't like it, fine, you can quit. We'll just bring the next one in. They're going to pay the same amount of money.
You're replaced.
You're the one that's missing out. You're replaced. So just put up with the treatment. And I don't even need to go into why that's such a bad thing, not just for a young woman, but for any human being. You know, that's going to lead on later in life into affecting your relationships with other people and everything else. But how can it be combated, Larissa? What if you are going to miss out, if you're not going to play on that amazing travel team, if you're not going to get your in front of college coaches, if you're not going to get to the youth national teams, people will just say, yeah, Goffey, I get it. But what do you want them to do? Not play? What's the answer?
Well, I think that's a three-part answer.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about paying to play for the elite, these are top teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but only a certain percentage of girls really deserve to play at that level, and boys.
Very small, yeah.
Right? It's very small. Mm. So I would rather see kids playing in tier one, tier two, just staying involved with some friends and playing.
Yeah.
Because here's the cool science behind this. Kids that multi-sport and are not singled out so at such a young age are more likely to go D1 in one of the three sports they choose.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I would tell parents not to single out and source their kid out at such a high level and be fearful, because actually we see a lot of professional athletes who actually didn't pick up because they were playing with lacrosse, soccer, and football, and all of a sudden they got picked up for football and when they were 16.
Yep.
And they never single out. It's those kids that are doing better mentally, because they have to use a different set of mental skills and social skills. Their brains are firing faster, so their cognitive processing is way better.
Yeah, agreed.
When we're just focused on one sport, and here's what some, we're recommending some soccer clubs do, and this is kind of out there, but I recommend the kids at academies and clubs actually swim.
Right.
Swim and play another sport, because it keeps them intrinsically motivated. To do the pay to play, you're always going to get someone to pay.
Yeah.
Right? So
yep.
I would just make sure that whoever is the leadership at those clubs or locations, leagues, that you have the best humans involved at the top.
Mm.
Not the best players, the best humans at the top. Because if you don't have the focus of coaching alignment, coaching development, and the philosophies right at the top,
yeah,
if you're going to just focus on winning, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
If you focus on development and development programs and behavior, you're going to win. Right? All the time. Way better. If you're going to be more successful in the long run with that club.
Yeah, in the long run, yeah.
You think you
yeah.
can just fix things in 6 months and win next year? You are fooling yourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, development takes 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, and again, so going back to, you mentioned before, I believe personally that, you know, Europe, certainly the UK, America, certainly Canada, on the academic side, leads the world, right? And Australia too, of course. But I think the research that's come out, certainly when I was coming through my undergraduate degree and my master's degree, the research that was coming out around kind of 1999 to 2010 area, a lot of this was from Canada. Barley and Hamilton's seminal piece of research that was the windows of trainability that basically shaped every academy and, you know, development program in the world.
Yep.
Ericsson's 10,000 hours rule that won't be unfamiliar as a concept to a lot of people, even though they might not fully understand that that was about classical pianists or whatever else. But we seem to have taken that information, taken that research, thrown it in the pot, ended up with what we've got now. And I think really from kind of 2015 onwards, we've been in a new phase of, well, actually, does it all work? Does it make sense, right? And I'll tell you very quickly, for my postgraduate master's degree, I did a retrospective practice study on histories of elite footballers, kids who were in a football club who were about to sign pro. I actually found, interestingly, that they'd only really been in around 3,000 to 4,000 hours of deliberate practice environments, right? That was it. And they were meant to sign professional forms, if they were going to, within the next 6 months. So they'd been in an academy, some of them, for well over 10 years, right? And they still only had 3,000 to 4,000 hours of deliberate practice and play, right? So the science is one thing. The windows of trainability, for sure. You've alluded to them a little bit here in terms of, you know, we're on our phones, so now we're not developing that technical skill. We're not developing those acceleration, deceleration, physical movement.
The speed
windows have missed. Yeah. The growth maturation goes alongside it.
It's all gone,
right? So this phone piece and the way that kids are feeling about sport now and the way that coaches are looking so short-minded. Can I just win enough games this year to retain my players, for example, or keep my job? Because some of these jobs are very lucrative. We have got a problem, haven't we? We've got an issue that is coming to a head at some point.
Oh, the pendulum's over here, David. Yeah. Way over here. It's got to come back to balance over here soon.
Yeah.
Or it's all gone.
Yeah.
Right? It's all gone. And we have solutions. The beautiful thing is we've got solutions for it. But we want to have leadership that's willing to change or come to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we approach, we work with people who want that change.
Mm.
If we email out or like cold email out, like a sales email,
nothing.
All of a sudden it's, this is working for them. Oh, can we get Larissa? Okay. We want to do that. It's all word of mouth.
Absolutely.
Right. Because I don't think that we are going to be able to have a successful development system stateside or north of the border here in Canada until we have a strong youth grass sports program.
Yeah.
And we start, if you want them to have physical skills today, you got to teach them mental skills first. They're coming to you with nothing.
Yeah. Blank expression.
But behavioral issues, not paying attention, afraid to leave their parents, introverted, they're micromanaged by their parents. Like that, I can't coach that. And I'm a good coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, so
I feel the same. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
This is where I developed this program. And I'm like, if you're on my team, they're getting this program.
Yeah.
And then we do very well. Right. Because now I've got them mastering their mental game, their habits. Because you know as well as I do, you might have some potential. You might have some potential. But unless your talent, right, it'll take you to here. But habits,
so
your mental game, your phone habits, your sleep, that takes you the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And then they get blocked at 16 and can't do it.
Oh, it's so true. I over the last 20 years, I think back sometimes, and I sometimes sit there and reflect and try to remember names. I just write names down on a little list, right? Of kids I've come across that I thought had major potential and didn't quite reach it. And now that you see it again playing out, don't you? Every couple of years you see it. This kid is, I've seen that before. I've experienced that before. That was this kid back then. Right. And you don't want it for them. You don't want them to go down this path.
No.
That's why I think fundamentally everybody who coaches wants to change the direction for the people they come into contact with, make it better as such, right? But it's so hard. It's so hard.
Coaches want to have less behavior. They want to coach, but they need the support of the leadership. If a kid is going sideways and they're lipping off and, you know, telling a coach to F off, but they're not disciplining them. And then when they do, the parents slip out and try and get the coach fired. This is the number one,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That can't happen anymore.
Yeah. That is what's happening.
But that's a standard. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're not allowing our kids, because here's what happens with that behavior. They're going to do it again, and they're not going to be a kid who's coachable.
That's right.
So you'd rather be rid of that kid.
Yep.
And get someone else who is more coachable, and make it known to your parent population that we're operating from a much higher standard of what is acceptable behavior here, because we can't sustain soccer unless we do anymore.
It's true. We're just can't accept that mediocrity.
We can't retain coaches. Parent complaints are at an all-time high. We're not functioning the way we should. Like 20 years ago, I never thought the sports would look like this. Never. Not when even when I was going through the system in volleyball.
Yeah.
Not when I was coaching. And I just sort of saw a change like around 2000 before phones. And then it just got drastically different after 2010. And now it's just a whole pay to play problem, right? Who cares about behavior?
Oh, yeah. As long as the bills are paid. Yeah. As long as people keep paying. Yeah, I agree. As sad as that is, there is an element of that to it for sure. The kid in that example that you mentioned, the kid who is belligerent, the kid who doesn't have standards, the kid who isn't held to account at home, the kid who refuses to, you know, give the team, put the team first, whatever else it is, it's also not helping them, because they're just going to carry that behavior with them into the next set of things they do, into the next team, into their college team, into their world, into their life.
Where are we going to fix that?
Does it ever get fixed? Yeah.
Undisciplined parents raise undisciplined athletes. They're not coachable. So parents actually have more work to do at home. They have to do this work at home. I mean, I saw a kid the other day showing his mom at the playground. I was doing like push-ups or something, like I was running or whatever it was. And I saw this mom who was on her phone at the playground, and their kid's like, "Mom, look at me. Mom, push me."
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I was with my kids.
Yeah.
Phone was not out, because kids feel so. I have probably 60% of our kids that surveyed here say they feel neglected at home because their parents are on their phones.
On the phone.
We need to get you off your phones, and we need to get you parenting. And tech is just putting us all into a revved up system where we're all having behavioral issues and dysfunction. So we know now that less tech for us as adults and less tech for kids, it is better for nervous systems, right? We're not so angry. We're not so revved. We're not so short. You know, it's sad, but undisciplined parents have undisciplined athletes, and I see it every day. You want your kid to play, but I'm like, then show me and teach them all these skills at home. Show me
that they need, yeah, that they need instead
it's
of just
not
placating
a coach's
them.
Job to teach effort and work ethic and accountability. It's not. Agreed. It's only our job to enforce it.
Right? My daughter is six. Carly, loads of bits, obviously, right? She's amazing.
That age, that is such
she's
a
amazing. Cool age. She comes up to me, and I do a lot of work on my phone. I've taken a day a week where I don't work, and I don't touch my phone. Good. And I pick them up from school, and I refuse. And unfortunately, I miss calls. I miss things. People try to get hold of me. I'm sorry. That's the way it's going to be. Right.
Matter.
The rest of the time, when they're in school and everything else, you can get me. I'm extra mile. Right. Yeah, always been extra mile.
Yeah, yeah.
But one day a week, you're not getting me because that might. She used to come up to me and say, "Dad, you stop tippy tapping on your phone." That was what she would say, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. That all she sees is me
she
with this thing.
You.
Me.
She
doesn't know
that.
That I'm replying to this parent email or doing this important thing or hiring someone or whatever it is.
They
and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It can go away. It
they
can
just
go
see
away
you're
for
ignoring
another
her. That's they what they see.
She just sees that my attention is in this phone. You're right, and it's a real problem. I don't know if life is better. There are things about having a mobile phone and stuff I get.
Travel's
I understand.
Great. Travel's
access.
Great. It's great. I can see my one kid play.
Yeah.
I'm in Calgary. I was at a meeting. I was able to watch him play on a I put his game on a streaming thing and
on
I
on a camera, yeah. 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 I get that.
Phones are communication tools.
Yeah.
But now we've put entertainment on them with high risks of addiction.
Yeah.
And here's where we're at. But the thing is, we can change phone routines. We can change what phones we use. We have to go. There's a lot of initiatives out there run by some incredible professional athletes, actually, who are anti-phones for kids. And it's been great. It's catching wind. They're in Australia, they're way ahead of us. Britain's ahead of Canada. Even in the US in hockey. They're already teaching, and I'm part of the hockey development. They are way ahead teaching mental skills and behavioral strategies because they are aware. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
They're kicking our butt.
Yeah.
They're kicking our butt, right? And we're falling off even from Europe as standards as well.
We started with that. Let's get back to that real quick before we wrap up then.
I can do one more. I have a session at 12.
I know you're busy. Canada's behind schools. They're taking things out of the schools. The teachers are not being accountable. Tell us, what's the situation?
Well, in elementary school, here, is from junior kindergarten to grade 8, typically, across Ontario here.
Yeah.
They took the phys ed teacher out. Which was
physical education, phys ed,
education.
Yeah,
and now just any teacher has to do this.
How can
they don't know what they're
allowed?
Doing?
How
so now you've got no fun things happening in school. And here's the really crappy thing about this, Canada and the Ministry of Education. Please put it back. Because what education does is actually help prevent medical issues later on in life. Our healthcare system can't manage this.
Of course it does. Yeah.
So, and here's the sad thing about our sports system. By 8 years old, if a child is not exposed to all the different sports, they won't pick one.
Yep. Windows closed. Yeah.
Windows closed. Done. 8 years old.
Yeah.
You're done. There is nothing else. They'll just sit at home and stare at a boob tube or never go outside. So we're setting our healthcare system up for a complete chaotic system. We can't even manage the people we have here now.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Too many people. Too many people, not enough rooms and beds in hospitals. And we don't take care of ourselves like we used to.
Yeah.
Right. But kids matter. Their future matters. And we need to put the phys ed teachers back and put more money into sports. Even Europe has other systems where if you want to play like a high level sport at school or just a rec after school, but you better be moving.
But you do something. Yeah.
You better be doing something.
Yeah.
It's gone.
20 years ago, I was working for the Welsh Assembly government, the government agency there is called Sport Wales. And we had a 26-year plan called Climbing Higher, which was the government strategy on getting people active 5 times 30 minutes a week, 5 times 60 minutes a week for kids. This was 20 years ago. This is 25 years ago.
Amazing.
It was government led. It was done through local government. It was an absolute must. We have an NHS, National Health Service, much the same as you guys. Obviously, there's lots of links between the two countries, but you're absolutely right. When would you ever, I'm going to say this, when would you ever have a math class with somebody who wasn't qualified standing in the front of the room teaching algebra? When has that ever happened in the history of schools? But all of a sudden, anyone can stand up and do physical education, games, and PE in sport. This is ludicrous.
Right? Because here's what I'm saying. The provincial government here, I'm like, so if you don't pay it forward to sports when they're younger, you're going to lose the money and you're going to put it in healthcare later.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You're ludicrous. An idiot.
Ludicrous. I don't understand how educated people, I'm sure they are, you know, experienced people, politicians, whoever make these decisions, I don't understand how you get to that conclusion. I don't get it.
Absolutely. And so this sets up for all of our kids to see in our development programs, there's less kids and there's less pool to pick from and less go up. It's a math problem.
Agreed.
In development, right?
And it will link into professional sport eventually and Olympic sports.
Oh, it does. It is.
Less people to win medals. Yeah, I get it. Yep. I get it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to let you go. This has flown by. This has been an hour and it feels like 2 minutes. This is one of the most engaging. I feel alive. I feel like we've hit the topics. We are definitely going to follow you and get you back on at some point as well.
Oh, we could just have another topic. We have a whole other load of stuff to talk about.
Oh, we will. We absolutely will have a part two on this one.
Social media problems on teams and bullying and all that good stuff.
We'll do a part two for sure. Tell me when people look at this and see your name and are engaged by this, where can they go to find the Mental Game Academy, find out about you? Tell us all about that.
MentalGameAcademy.com. Yep. Go there. You can connect with us. And if you're an organization or a coach and you want our leadership, find us there. You can email me personally, Larissa@mentalgameacademy.com. We are on Instagram with Learning Nuggets. We're just putting out our learning channel on YouTube with long videos.
Good. Not the shorts. Yeah, not the shorts.
We actually have podcasts on our website, both for parents and for sports. And we encourage you to listen to podcasts on the way to rinks and pitches instead of being on your phones.
Absolutely. 100%.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for your time. That's absolutely brilliant. We will absolutely have you back again. I really, really cannot thank you enough. This message is so important. It is so integral to the success, not just of sports people and young women, but also life in general as they get into the real world.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. We'll talk again. That's been brilliant. Take care.
Thank you.